In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, the Church is commemorating the saint that is greatest in the saints, out of the saints. St. John the Baptist had preached repentance. St. John the Baptist had prayed and tried to bring the people to meet their Messiah, to prepare their hearts, to bring them to humility, to find in themselves acknowledgement of their sinfulness, so that they will meet their Maker and be able to submit themselves to His will. St. John the Baptist tried to prepare the hearts so that they will look for the things of eternal, so that they turn away from the things of this, the enjoyment so-called of this world, so that they will look for the eternal life, so that they will be able to love one another, so that they will be able to share things that they have and not hurt one another. He specified specifically, he told them, do not hurt each other. Told for the soldiers. For those who have an extra cloth, give it away. And with food the same way. Be happy with the salaries that you receive. Now we see that the world is not fulfilling or not going according to us. St. John is writing, as he's telling the people to do, he's going to take your soul today, my soul today, if I don't repent. You understand that? There is no more time left for us. That's how St. John the Baptist tried to bring the people to repentance, to soften their hearts so that they can understand that the time has come for their salvation. But he knew that nobody can be forced into salvation. It has to be the free will of a person involved. The person has to want that salvation. Christ had died, as we know afterwards, died for our sins, died on the cross. He had done everything at the most possible to save us and to free us from the enemy. There is nothing more as a treasure. There's nothing more valuable than the life that Christ has given to us. St. John of Cross said, so why don't you understand? So easy it would be to give you the smallest thing that you would ask. The problem with us is that we enjoy our pride. We enjoy obedience to no one. When we, in fact, we feel that we are a free person. We don't have to account to nobody for nothing. And so we make our lives. When we're children, we say we have a whole life ahead of us. We can play games and seriousness doesn't have come to us. When we become teenagers, we say we must try everything that this world has to offer. We must know the good and the evil, the difference between them, just as the Adam and Eve said. When we become on our feet and we either get ourselves a family, and then we say, well, we have to now work hard so that we can provide for our retirement. Or we live simply for ourselves and we say, I don't care about nobody. The only one who is important is my own self. I must live for myself. I must figure a way where it will be the less difficult way of surviving. And we know, for instance, my beloved, we have here people living that know and found out that the easiest way to have shelter by the church. The church gives them shelter for nothing. They can live here and they can prosper. Prosper? They can shackle themselves more and more in tying themselves up because they add sins to sins and it becomes harder and harder for them to get out. Because in fact, they are condemning themselves because they will not acknowledge their sinfulness. They will not acknowledge that they are liars. that they are breaking oaths all the time, first to the God and then to everybody else, and that they are in fact living as the herod that is only trying to satisfy his own temporary needs, his temporary senses. Well, Herod got so drunk on the liquor that was served and on the enticement of the woman dancing before him, that he had promised her that he would give her anything, even up to half the kingdom. And she went to her mother, and the mother said, take the head of St. John. Now, even though in today's gospel it says the Herod, that he respected John, the prophet, that he liked to listen to him even, and sometimes he admitted things to according as he has asked to be done. But of course he couldn't do that one thing that was tying him up and keeping him away from God. And that's what we spoke yesterday. He couldn't give up that treasure, but he considered it was the treasure, the possession of that woman, who was a woman, who was a wife of his brother, which was not lawful for him to have. And he could not give up that. And because of that, the enemy was able to control him, just like for us. If we can't give up something, I don't care what it is, as I said yesterday, whether it's richness, whether it's houses, whether it's salaries, whether it's our mind, ability to think, whether it's our education, it doesn't matter what it is. If we are not willing to give up something that we attached our heart to more than we attach to God, we're unworthy of God. And so the enemy then has control of us. But he makes us believe that we are in full control of ourselves. He lies to us because he is a father of lies. And we are so foolish that we fall for it. We're so foolish that we fall for it, for the lies of the enemy. We know that he's father of lies. We know that he has entangled up Eve and Adam into sins and continued to do the work on every one of us to bring us into sins countless of times. And yet, for some reason, we believe that he, when he says to us, oh, you're free. You control your own destiny. You do whatever you want to do. You can get drunk or not get drunk. You can take dope or not take dope. You can fornicate or not. Everything is under your control. You can watch pornography or you don't. Everything is under your control. Nobody controls you. Baloney to that. Know the truth. The truth is that the demons control you when we are like this. The demons control us when we are like this. Do you understand that? You think you are in your own control. And that's the trouble. Because the demon works through your and my mind. And until you and I learn to fight the demon in our mind, we're not going to conquer him. And until we learn to submit ourselves, until we learn to bow down before our Lord and Creator and ask His help, we are powerless to stop the enemy from tying us all together and putting us into hell. Now, my beloved, let's understand that the Lord has created a human being not to be in bondage and in totally tied up and shackled by the demons. The Lord did not create a human being to go through the hell all the time. That doesn't make any sense because he would not be God of love. But the Lord had made the man for blessedness, for eternal blessedness, for spiritual blessedness. The Lord is not evil. When your mind starts to tell you, God had created you this way, that you have the inability to combat this passion, that you're inherited from your parents and what have you. Spit at these thoughts, say, be begone, Satan. God would not create nothing that is not good. Whatever God has created is good. He cannot create anything bad. And so whatever it is with you, my beloved, try to understand it. Offer it to God. Offer it to Him. Bow down before His cross. It is a cross for you. But crosses are never given for damnation. Crosses are given only for salvation. My beloved, there are some that are sons of priests. My sons. There's other that has a father also for a priest. Don't ever think that that is a cross, that something that God was unfair to you to giving you that. On the contrary, understand that is a great blessing that you can draw from the strength of the priesthood from in the household, that you can draw from it and you can be a much tougher fighter against the enemy, against the adversary. And then you will be victorious. But if you think, God forbid, if you start thinking it is a woe to you, it's terrible that you were born in the family of a priesthood, then the enemy will use you, only to hurt your members of the family. Understand that, because there is no secret in the families of the priesthood. There is no secrets in the family of Christians, in the true sense, in the parishes. There's no secrets in the hermitage. It's all going to come out in the open. It's all coming out in the wash. For that reason, it is now the time for the true repentance. For later on, we won't have the time. Now is the time for repentance. Now is the time to change all those things that are not pleasing to God and to start to work for the Lord. But also know, always know, that God is merciful God. And if He sees you trying, if He sees you getting rid of the old stuff and don't want to take the old stuff anymore, it's on your mind. It's on your mind. If you start to fight in your mind and say, I don't want this, I don't want this passion, I don't want this trouble, I don't want to go against God, and then you will be able to plead with the Lord for mercy, and God will free you from these things, and you will not be shackled anymore. God will make you free, my beloved. There is no sin that doesn't start with the mind. I don't care what sins they are, no matter what it is, it's going to start with your mind. Understand that your power to combat the wrong thoughts, and the thoughts would be consisting in the power of God, in the power of the Jesus' prayer, in the power of the reading of these Holy Scriptures, the Holy Gospel especially. Understand that. That is where your power is going to be. You want to have freedom? Go after the Gospel. Read the Gospel. You are tempted? Pick up the Gospel and read the Gospel. You are tempted? Pick up the prayer, Jesus' prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, and you will be free. But without struggle, you're not going to be free. St. John, the Baptist's head, when was brought in to all these people that are dining, all of a sudden spoke out. And St. John's head said, it was wrong for you to marry that woman, to marry your brother's wife. And everybody was in shock. All of a sudden, all their joy of the great feast was all gone, and they all started to go away, and they went away. And that was the ending, which is not written in the Gospel, that is traditionally told to us, given to us in the writings. It was a cliché to love God, be able to be united with God, and be able to be united with all those who love God, for they will love each other. But those who hate God and hate their neighbors, they're going to be forced to be together with those whom they hate. They will never be able to be separated. They will be in total frustration and total hell all the time. Never be able to get out from that hatred and never be able to give satisfaction for their hatred. While they're living on earth, the hatred can give satisfaction by hating, by fighting, by cursing out. There's some certain satisfaction by hurting others. But once they're in hell, there is no satisfaction. But there's only going to be that terrible frustration. There's no way to get that satisfaction. And they're going to be feeling that terrible hell. God forbid that we'll wind up in hell. We pray that the Lord will bring us into the heaven. Amen.